Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem and welcome back to today's Daf, Gittin Chaf Beis. We are on line 2 from the top of the Amud. Says the Gemara, Otitz Shel Echot. Suppose we have a flower pot containing some plants. That flower pot has a hole on the bottom. It's a perforated flower pot, which in effect makes that the content of that flower pot is considered mechubar lekarka, connected to the ground because it's feeding off the ground. Thing is, we have two owners, otzitz shel echad. The pot belongs to Reuven, who's roim shel achar. The plants growing in the pot belong to Shimon, and they would like to make a transfer of ownership. Mochar bal otzitz lebal zroim. So Reuven, the pot owner, would like to sell his pot to Shimon. Here, take the pot for your plants. The pot is considered metatalin. It's a mobile object, in which case, in order to be kaina, you need to do either mishicha, bring it into your domain, or hagbah, lifting it. These are methods of kinyanim pertaining to metatalin, to items. Kimet shemashach kana. So as soon as Shimon just does mishicha, pulls this pot to himself, he's kaina the pot, because although the plants inside are considered connected to the ground and are classified as karka, but not the pot. That's metatalin for which meshicha accomplishes change of ownership. But in the reverse, mochar bal zroim lebal atzit. Suppose the plant owner Shimon would like to transfer his plants to the pot owner, to Reuven. The plants are considered karka. In this case, Reuven can only be kind if he accomplished a proper, he effected a proper kinyan. A ma'asa chazaka, Rashi says, for instance, weeding or overturning the soil a bit. Those are considered expressions of ownership, of chazaka, of taking possession, which applies to land, to karka. Otzitz zroim shel echad. Now we have the pot and the content belonging to one person. A different case, right? Umrachon la'achar, and he sells them to somebody else, to Shimon. How is Shimon meant to do his kinyan? There are two parts, two aspects. We have the karka aspect, the content of the pot, and we have the pot itself. Hechzik bezroim. So if he made a kinyan, chazaka, on the content, on the plants, which is a proper kinyan for the content because it's karka, like we explained before, since the pot was perforated, that has a hole, in which case the content is feeding off the ground, it is considered mechubar lakarka, in which case a ma'asa chazaka makes that kinyan. But he gets a freebie. He gets the atzitz as well, which sort of rides along with the karka, kana atzitz. Once he makes chazaka on the karka, he gets the pot along with it. Although, typically, the kinyan chazaka is not meant for metatalin such as the pot, but in this case it works, because it sort of piggybacks onto the karka. V'zui sheshaninu, as we learned in the Mishnah, nechosim she'ein lahem achrayis. Items which don't provide security, such as mobile items, chafetzim, which aren't safe and secure in their place, they can just be taken from place to place. You wouldn't lend somebody money and put a lien on metal. It's not secure. It's not something to rely on. That's why it's called Ein Lohem Achrayis. These items require specific types of kinyanim, Meshicha, Hagbah. But we have an exception. Niknin Im Nechasim Sheish Lohem Achrayis. Suppose he's purchasing a karka, which is called Yesh Lohem Achrayis, either through Bekesef, through money, Ubishtar, or document, Ubechazaka, or taking ownership in the karka itself. Since he's purchasing an item along with it, it goes together in one package. So again, if Reuven, who owns the pot with the content, sells it to Shimon, how is he kaina? If he does a chazaka on the Zroim, he will be kaina not only the Zroim, but the Atzitz comes along with it. But hechzek ba'atzitz, he made a chazaka on the Atzitz. He did some sort of a change in the atzitz to show ownership. No. It doesn't work on the atzitz. Atzitz is metatlan. You need a different type of kin. You need meshicha, hagbah. Af atzitz like kono, not only is he I'm not going to be kind of the content. He's not even kind of the pot until he makes chazaka on the content. Now, nikvay baretz v'noyfay b'chutz laretz. Here comes a new question. You have a flower pot whose hole, right, the perforation through which the plant would draw its nutrients, is on Eretz Yisrael. So the pot is straddling the border. One part of it is over Eretz Yisrael proper, which was Chayiv and Truma and Maser, and that's where the hole lies. V'noifa b'chutz laretz, and the actual plant is growing on the chutz laretz side of the pot. What do? How do we classify this plant? Do you look at the source of nutrients, the source of life, which is Eretz Yisrael, in which case it's classified as an Eretz Yisrael growth, and Chayiv and Truma, Chayiv and Maser? Or do you look at the location of the actual plant, which is outside Eretz Yisrael? Abaya Omar Basnikva Azlinon, you look at the source of life, the Nekev, the whole of the pot. Rav Omar Basnikva Azlinon, you look at the plant itself, where it's leaning to. Now, with the Ashrush, if it took a root, you see the roots coming through that hole into the ground of Eretz Yisrael, Kuli Amalei Pligi, everybody would agree. There's no Machlekes. That, of course, is considered mechubar to Eretz Yisrael and is part of an Eretz Yisrael growth. Ki pligi b'dloi ashrish, the question is if there are no roots running through that hole. It's just sort of feeding through the air. Then we have a question. Do you look at the position of the hole or the leaves, the actual plant? Asks the Gemara, really? But the ashrish lay pligi? When there are roots, there's no question in terms of determining location, really? We seem to have a machlekes, even by the Ashrush. Atnan, we have a mission. Shtei ginois zu'al gavzu. Picture, two gardens. A bi-level garden. An upper garden belonging to Reuven. And then we have a lower garden, side by side, belonging to Shimon. And something's growing right in that wall, in between. Rooted into the upper garden, so to speak, is drawing from the upper garden, right? But it's growing into the airspace of the lower garden. Who owns it? There is Yerek growing in between the gardens. The upper one is the owner. It belongs to the fellow on the bottom. Despite the fact that it's rooted into the upper chunk of earth. Why does Rabbi say it belongs to the guy on bottom? So we see that even when we have Sherashim going in one direction, it can still belong to the other person. It can still relate to the other area. Where the plant is actually located, in this case, the airspace of Shimon's lower garden. And you're telling me a minute ago that if there are Hashrash, if there's rooting, then of course the plant relates to the location where it's rooted into. Here we seem to see otherwise. Answers the Gemara, no. You know, over there we're speaking about, arguments and positions regarding monetary ownership. Choshe Mishpat, it's a different story. Hasam Kedektani Tama. The Machlekes there is about the reasons stated in that Mishnah. Amar Meir, Mayim Yirtze El Yonlit El Safari. You see, the upper one, if he decides to excavate his afar, to remove his garden, Ein kan yerek, there goes the plant. Amar Yehuda, well, the counter argument to that is, Ma'im yirtze hatachten l'malis es ginosei afar. Likewise, if the fellow on bottom, in the lower level, decides to fill his airspace with earth, once again, Ein kan yerek, there is no plant. So basically, in terms of Cheshe Mishpat, Dini Mamris, we have an argument in both directions. And therefore, we have the Machlekes. But when it comes to questions of Kedushas, Eretz Yisrael, Chutz La'aretz, of course, the Gemara is assuming that the roots determine location. Really? Even when there are roots, there are no machlekes. Vatani, we have machlekes even when you have roots. Ilan Miktsasa Ba'aretz. So regarding the Eretz Yisrael question, even in a situation where we have Sharashim, we still stand to have a machlekes. Ilan Shemiktsasa Ba'aretz. Miktsasa B'chutz La'aretz. So picture a tree straddling the border, half in at Eretz Yisrael, half out. what happens to the produce growing off that tree? It's a mix. Tevel, v'chulin, muravin, zebezeh. David Rebbe maintains that you have a full mix there. Part of the tree is nurturing over Eretz Yisrael, part of it from Chutzlar, so the fruit there is sort of a mix. Part chayiv, part potter. And Rashi says, nafkamina would be that the only way to take truma and maser is to sort of separate from those fruit itself. You can't take from some other location because maybe the other one is really chayiv and here it's part, part. Bottom line is, you have a mix. Rabbi Nashim Gamliel Omer, I don't know, it's not so complicated. Hagadol b'chiyuv chayiv, hagadol b'ptur potter. Take a look at the tree. A fruit growing on the Eretz Yisrael side of the tree is chayiv and truma. The other side is potter. Okay, my love, she will not assume that this tree is positioned half in, half out. Miktsas noifa baretz, or miktsas noifa b'chutz laretz. Right? Part of the actual tree is here, part is there. And what do we see? That according to Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, whatever grows outside Eretz Yisrael is considered Chutz La'aretz produce, despite the fact we're assuming that the all the roots are in Eretz Yisrael. Here you go, Machlokes, even when there are Shirashim in Eretz Yisrael. No, says the Gemara. Like, Miktsas Shirashim Baretz, U Miktsas Shirashim Chutz La'aretz. We're speaking that not only is the tree itself, the trunk and the branches, half there and half here, the roots themselves are split. Part of which are in Eretz Yisrael, and part of which are growing outside Eretz Yisrael. So here we can understand why, you know, the tree is sort of a mix. So if all the roots would be in one location, of course that would, you know, that would be considered the determination in terms of how to classify the tree. But here, the roots themselves are distributed part here and part here. Umay taima de Rav Shimon Gamliel. Well, it says then, okay, you've solved that problem. But let's go back to this Mishnah. Right? Shimon Gamliel says, whatever grows on this side belongs to this side. Whatever grows on that side belongs to that side. Now, you know, the roots bring up nutrients and sap, and all that goes into the trunk and gets sort of diluted, gets mixed up. So how can you determine whatever grows on the Eretz Yisrael side is feeding off Eretz Yisrael ground and likewise on the other side from Chutz La'aretz? How do you know what's feeding off what? The Mafsek Tzumna was speaking that the roots down there are sort of separated, properly separated with a rock. So there's nothing going from one side to the other. And therefore, he says, there's a full separation. The roots on this side are sort of feeding this side, and the ones on the other side are feeding, they're not mixing up. Well, says, they were my time in the Rebbe's. What's Rebbe's for? Rebbe doesn't divide the tree in this manner. He says, the whole tree, all the fruit, whether it's on this side or on that side, are all the same story, they're all mixed. They're considered part-part. The Hadri Arvi, because he holds that the yinika, the nutrients, once they get into the tree, they mix up. The ones coming from this side will go over to the other side, and vice versa. You can't necessarily pinpoint which yinika is traveling to which fruit. But Mike, what's the machlekes about? Mar sabar avira mebalbel. Rabbi holds, although the roots themselves are fully separated, but once it gets up out of the ground, it all mixes together, creating a big mix. Mar sabar. Whereas Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel disagrees, he holds haylochadekoy, the yinika, the nutrients coming up on this side stay on that side, producing the Eretz Yisrael fruit, and the ones coming from the Chutz La'aretz are producing the Chutz La'aretz fruit, and there's no mix whatsoever. Let's just summarize this Gemara. We have a flower pot with growth within it. The flower pot itself is considered an item, not karka, which requires its own type of kinyan, and the content is considered karka, which has its own method of kinyan. You have a flower pot with a hole right? That's what we're speaking about, the Otzes Nakuv. The hole is on this side of the border, and Eretz Yisrael, the knife, the plant, is leaning on the other side. Which way do you go? So Gemara says, well, if it took root, there's no question that it's considered, based on the root location. And if there are no roots, that's the machlekes. Abaye says, you look at the hole, that's where it's drawing from. And Rava says, you look at the knife, the position of the actual plant. We did discuss a Chayshim Mishpat discussion, where we have arguments in both directions, and that generates a new machlekes regarding the double garden. We had a shayla about a tree, a unique location, a unique situation with a two-part root system separated by a tzunma, and the question is how to treat the fruit on top. Rebbe says it's all a mix, and Rabban Shimon Gamliel says, well, the one growing on this side belongs to this side, and likewise the other side. Okay, let's go back to get for a minute. Rabbi Yehuda ben Sefer Omer, don't write a get on paper which had already been erased, or on diftero, which is unprocessed leather, unprocessed skin, because it can be easily forged. And the Chachamim allow it. Omer b'chia bar asim mishmei de'ula. Gimul oirasein. There are three different types of animal skins, representing three different stages of processing. One is called matzo, one is called cheifa, one is called v'diftera. V'diftera is the one mentioned in the Mishnah. And we'll explain each one and the halachas pertaining to that type of skin. When we speak about matzah, what is that? Totally unprocessed. K'mashmoy. As the word matzah. Matzah means unprocessed dough. Right? Not properly processed. No rising, etc. So the skin as well is totally unprocessed. D'loy maliach, it wasn't salted. Like a miach, there was no flour added to it, nor was this afitzan material, this gall nut powder, applied to the skin. So, the three different types, and Rashi says they have different names and different shiurim, different measures, different required measures. My hilchasa pertaining to what? Why would you speak about the size of these things pertaining to what? Loitzos Shabbos. Regarding the malach of carrying in the street on Shabbos, which requires something of substance, something prominent, something that has chashiva, something that has function and use. So when it comes to Loitzos Shabbos, these three types of leathers have different shiurim, which relate to their function and their use. Right? So when it comes to the matzah, which is totally raw, the kamashiur, what's the shiur of this item pertaining to a malach of carrying? Enough to wrap and protect a small weight. So it's common for them to wrap their weights with leather. They would use this type of unprocessed leather, because why process it for this purpose? So this raw, so to speak, leather was perfect for this job. The kama, how large is this small weight? Amar Baye, a certain type of weight that used in Pupadisa, that would be the perfect example of the size. Ki riva, the riva, quarter by quarter, Pupadisa. So that's how much leather is required for the Haitzos Shabbos, if leather that we're speaking is the matzah leather. What about the next level? Chefa, what is that? That was partially processed. The maliach, it was salted, like kamiach, but flour was not yet. Wasn't yet treated with flour. Likewise, the afitzim was not yet applied. My hilchasa, it's a Shabbos. Once again, the shear over here pertains to Shabbos. How much is the shear of this type of leather? Because it's not erk de lasas kamiya, enough to wrap around an amulet. And the third type of leather pertains to our Mishnah, diftera. That's already more advanced. The malech v'kamiyach, salted and floured. Le'ofitz without the afitzim, lamai hilchasa, what's that for? Again, let's say Shabbos. The shear for Shabbos will come a shiur. How much is that? Kedichta v'lovs haget. Enough to write a get, 12 lines. I'm going according to Rabbi Yehuda ben Maseira. Going according to Rabbanan. V'cham machshirin, that you can write a get on this. So it's useful for that purpose, and that is considered a prominently sized, useful sized piece of parchment. Now, Chachama Machsher, even though you can manipulate it, you can forge it. Man Chachamim, who are these Chachamim, and why are they allowing it? Amar Rabbi Lazar, the Amora, he says, look, Rabbi Lazar, this is Rabbi Lazar the Tana. The Omar Edom is Sirah Hikarati. He holds that Menat Torah. We don't need Chasimois. We don't need signatures on the get. As long as you deliver the get in presence of two Edom, and they read it, and they know what exactly the get is saying, so there's no point of forging. There's no concern of Ziyuf. Vamar Rabbi Lazar. Rabbi Lazar continues and explains, LaHichshu Rabbi Lazar La'alter. He only allows it to be done if the, you know, the get is being brought to Bezin as soon as it was given. Rashi says, on the same day. So it was delivered today in front of Edom Asira, and then they go to Bezin. Look, you know, she's divorced, and everybody knows what's going on. And there's no concern of anybody forgetting the content of the get. It's just so close by. But let's say it's 10 days later. So it was delivered on Sunday, and then 10 days later they come to Bezin. Okay, I'm divorced. No. We can't really certify this. We can't confirm it. Loi, you know why? It's too far gone. Chashina dima hava beitzna b'ziyavte. We're concerned that perhaps there was some sort of condition in the get. And 10 days later, everybody forgets about it. The Edom Asira totally lost their recollection, and now she goes and she reforges it. She can sort of erase the whole get and rewrite it without the condition. So it's only okay if it's, you know, close proximity to the scene of the get. Rabbi Yechon Amar, no concern. I feel mekana tzara. Even 10 days later is okay. Dim isadav etzna. Good if there was a condition contained in the get. Midkat chiri. The Edom Asira would remember. Vav Rabbi Lezer. Another halacha. La'yichsh Rabbi Lezer. Rabbi Lezer the Tan only allows it through Edom Asira lebegitin, only pertaining to a get. Aval b'shar shtoris lei. But other documents can't be done in this manner, in a manner that allows for forging. No. Why? Dechsiv v'nasatam kli cheres l'man yamdu yamin rabim. So other type of documents are placed in a kli cheres for long-term storing, for long-term recording. So basically, we have to keep records that stay for a long time, and therefore something that can be manipulated and forged doesn't work. So even Rabbi Lezer the Tana, who says that typically Edom Asira are okay, but that's only by a get. Rashi says a get, it's not meant for, you know, long-term, it's not a long-term record. It's meant for being matter her to remarry. Right? You're not going to hold on to the get for years and years to collect with it. It's different than, you know, a deed of ownership or a shtar chayiv. So by a get, you know, you can bring it right away to the bezin. They'll allow her to remarry, and there you go. And you can rip up the get. So therefore, even if it lends to forging, but like we said, you do it right away, there's no concern of forging. But when it comes to other stories which are sitting around for years and years, down the road, you might not find the Edom Mesira, and you might rely on the Edom Chasima. And then, you never know, maybe it was forged, because it was written on this material that allows for forging. Rabbi Yechon Amar disagrees. I feel the stories, even other documents, can be kosher in this manner. But doesn't the Pasuk say, L'man yamdu yamim rabim, that the shtar has to be something that provides long-term records? The pasuk there is just giving us good advice. Do it in a way that, you know, that provides long-term, you know, verification. But technically, our shtar does not have to provide that service. Okay. So again, we spoke about the flower pot, all the halachas about kinyanim, about Eretz Yisrael, Chutz Lorets. We discussed the three types of skins. And the Allah and the Mishnah regarding using forgeable material, according to Rabbi Yudim Sira, no. According to Rabbanan, yes. Because this is Rabbi Lezer speaking, the Edom Asira verified the content of the shtar, there's no concern of forging. The question was, you know, how far do we stretch it? Is it just an immediate heter or even long-term heter? Is it just for a gittin or even for shtaris? All the best to you and Hatzlacha Rabbah.